Last week, Governor Gavin Newsom announced that he will introduce a tax of up to $10 a month to water customers to fund safe drinking water in disadvantaged communities. We've reported in the past about how many of those communities are right here in the San Joaquin Valley. To learn more about Newsom's plan, I spoke to Jonathan Nelson, policy director at the Community Water Center. So, Jonathan, break this down for me. With the tax Governor Newsom is proposing, will some people pay more, and does it really include all Californians?
Many of us, in fact, most of us, already pay small fees on other utilities that we utilize, and we often don't even know it, such as cell phones and energy bills. So what the Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund proposal is attempting to do is to use that same logic of we are one California, and we ought to make sure that everyone in the state can have access to safe drinking water. The way that it's attempting to do that is through a multi-pronged approach that includes both new funding from the agriculture industry and also a new, very small fee that would go on water bills for those of us that pay a monthly water bill. There's a couple things to point out about that. Low-income Californians will be exempted from paying this new fee. For those of us that are not low-income, so those of us that are 200% or above the federal poverty level, we will be paying a maximum of 95 cents a month. Now, if you are a very large corporation and you're using massive amounts of water, you may pay a little more, up to $10 a month. But that seems like a small price to pay to make sure, again, that every child, every family can have access to safe drinking water.
Gotcha. So the reports that I've read that are saying it could be $10 a month, that's not necessarily, you know, me in my house paying the water bill with just like my family. I wouldn't necessarily be paying $10 a month. It might be much less than that unless I made, you know, 200% over the poverty level.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just one last point on the low-income exemption. If you look at the data, it's low-income communities of color that have been disproportionately impacted and disproportionately paying the price of California's drinking water crisis, both with their pocketbooks and, frankly, with their lives, with their health. So we believe that it's only fair to make sure that those Californians that have been bearing the price of our drinking water crisis finally get a little relief.
And we know some of those people are, as we mentioned, here in the San Joaquin Valley. But I do want to ask, what is the scope? Is it just these communities in the San Joaquin Valley that some of whom lack access to clean drinking water? Do you have maybe a particularly scandalous example?
This is a statewide crisis. When you look at data coming out of the State Water Board, you'll see that it is not just a Central Valley issue. It's not even just a rural issue. It is a California issue. So we see unsafe drinking water challenges that stretch all the way from the Coachella Valley up through some of our urban areas like Los Angeles, through the Central Valley, as well as the Central Coast, up into areas like Oakland in the Bay Area, and then all the way up to the far north in some of the small communities up there.
So I'm hearing you say that this is really, it's kind of a moral imperative that we all agree, or that we all care about safe drinking water for, you know, our neighbors throughout the state. But there have certainly been negative responses. For example, on Twitter, one person said, you know, the polluting corporations should be paying for the cleanup. So, and in other words, a lot of people already feel they're being taxed quite a bit. What do you think about that? I mean, in your opinion, are there any downsides to the tax?
Well, first of all, I would say that it's absolutely an immoral imperative, but it's also an economic imperative, and it's a health imperative. How can we expect any California family or community to thrive when we can't even ensure that they have access to something that's about as basic and fundamental as it gets, which is safe drinking water? In terms of making sure that polluters pay, we agree. And in fact, this proposal is structured such that, for example, just to give one, the agriculture industry is actually paying fees into the proposed Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund. The reason is that, as we know, and as the data now shows unequivocally, nitrate from fertilizer from farming has gotten into the groundwater in certain parts of the state and is contaminating that groundwater. So agriculture should help pay for the cleanup of that, and they are as part of this proposal. The challenge is that there are some contaminants that can't be tied back to any responsible party. So, for example, uranium has been in the ground, in most cases, a lot longer than we've been around. And unless and until we can figure out how to tax God as a responsible party, we've got to join hands together as one state and say, you know what, we've got to address that, and we've got to make sure everyone can have safe drinking water. And that's where this very small 95-cent charge comes in.
Now, I know there are other state legislators who want to address this problem. Senator Ana Caballero, for example, she also proposed a drinking water trust funded by money from the state's general budget during a surplus year, which I believe we're in now. That's kind of an alternative to a tax. But I mean, from the center's point of view, you know, is that a better solution or not as would that not be as strong or as effective as a tax?
Well, I think for us, one of the many, many strengths of the proposed Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund is that if you passed it tomorrow, you wouldn't have to wait for anything else. You could immediately begin moving into implementation and actually getting at those targeted investments and immediate relief that we were just talking about. Some of these other proposals that would create a trust fund that would then require billions of dollars are, frankly, just hollow words on a page unless and until you can actually get those billions of dollars to fund that solution. And that seems like, at best, unlikely. And at worst, it is just a hollow promise to those without safe drinking water. So what we will continue to advocate and encourage action on is the solution that, if passed tomorrow, would actually be able to begin both immediate relief and those targeted investments, and that's the Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund.
Before we go, are there any communities that actually have gone from having unsafe, unclean drinking water and been able to remove themselves from that or sort of end the crisis in their little community? Have we seen evidence of, you know, ways to actually get communities out of this?
Yes, but it's challenging, and we could spend a lot longer talking about this, but essentially the whole point of the Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund is not to replace all other funding out there. Instead, it's to fill gaps in funding that make it so that small communities and our most vulnerable communities in Californians struggle to access safe drinking water. So just to give you an example of that, there's funding right now available to help you build a drinking water treatment plant, although not enough and we need more. But as soon as you go to turn on the lights or to pay for electricity or hire the payroll, you're then on your own as a community to cover all those what are called ongoing operations and maintenance costs. Well, if you're the city of Beverly Hills or even the city of Fresno, you are wealthy enough that you can afford to keep the lights on your drinking water treatment plant or keep the energy going or the payroll going. But if you're a small community or maybe a rural community or a socioeconomically disadvantaged community or some admixture of all of those, you may just not be able to afford the costs of being able to provide safe drinking water on an ongoing basis. That's what this proposal is attempting to do. It's not attempting to replace all funding that's out there. Instead, you can think of it as this missing piece of the puzzle that's at the very center of this puzzle, and the Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund is going to fill that gap.
All right. We've been talking to Jonathan Nelson with the Community Water Center. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much.